Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can a pastor kill three birds with one stone? This is Wretched Radio. Can a pastor preach a word of encouragement while preaching a word of political exhortation while remaining thoroughly biblical? That is the question. To answer it, we are going to go back in time as we in contemporary Western civilization ponder afresh because of the stakes of the current political election. Can a pastor, should a pastor talk about, preach about politics from the pulpit, considering what many believe are very high stakes? Let us see if that can be accomplished biblically. Not to try to make everybody happy, but to make the Lord happy. Can a preacher be encouraging, biblical, and to a degree, political, all at the same time? Not the first time we've certainly debated this issue. Let me take you back in time to the Puritans. That's right, the Puritans. What did they say about the subject? The Puritan clergy believed that their form of church government was of divine origin. As soon as they had settled in America, they began to expound on it in sermon and treatise. Cotton, Hooker, Mather, Eliot, Davenport led in this discussion, which lasted for half a century. In other words, the Puritans who came to America for religious reasons, they believed that it was okie dokie to talk about politics in the pulpit. Careful expositions of their polity were composed under the authority of the clergy as a whole and even sent to England to let them know what they were thinking about. And so we see, at least in America, the Puritans were willing in some way, shape, or form to talk about politics. But how did they do that? How did they find what you would say would be at least something of a fine line between being a biblical preacher, exalting Christ, showing men and women Jesus every single Sunday from the pulpit, which is the highlight of the church week, the sermon on Sunday? That is the 1 hour that should drive everything. Could it still be political? To a degree, the Puritans thought so. So too did Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, who as a rule made it really, really clear, if you are a preacher who uses your pulpit to promote a political party, something's wrong with you. Quote, "Ministers do well to give their votes and to express their opinions for the guidance of the people," he wrote. "But in proportion as the preaching becomes political and the pastor sinks the spiritual in the temporal, strength is lost and not gained." Well, did you feel the balance in that? Being political and yet speaking about politics. Did Spurgeon ever exemplify that? I think he did. For instance, he was willing to preach from the pulpit about the government's attitude about the Sabbath. How is the society supposed to recognize Sunday? Because it was changing. In blue laws in America, that was going on in Great Britain in the 19th century. How does the government deal with what the church says is the day of rest? Spurgeon preached about it. He favored restrictions on the availability of alcohol. He offered public prayer against the appalling housing conditions of central London. In 1860, he denounced American slavery. Big time. He kept political ventures within limits, especially in his sermons. He had no problem outside of the pulpit speaking about his political preferences. He was, now don't panic over this, but he was a liberal, capital L liberal. Why? What's the distinction? Think conservatives, think of royalty. That would be the other side. Spurgeon much more concerned about working conditions for people. He was concerned about families. He was concerned about alcohol consumption. He was concerned about wages. And Charles Spurgeon would on occasion bring those concerns into the pulpit, but not to deliver a political harangue. What does that look like? How does a pastor preach biblically while touching on political issues? Can it be done? And I think the answer to that is absolutely, positively, it can be done. Should it be done to use your pulpit as a political hobby horse? No. Most of the time, any sort of political musings should come from your text. Having said that, could there ever be a time where the pastor said, well, the text I'm picking is talking about this issue that is on everybody's minds these days? Can the pastor determine this Sunday, because of what is going on in our society, I am going to preach from this text because it is going to allow me to comment on this issue? And I think the answer to that is yes. In fact, I saw that just this weekend. Went to church on Sunday because, well, that's typically when we go to church. And I thought our pastor did a brilliant job of demonstrating that a preacher can kill three birds with one stone. He can be encouraging, somewhat political, and absolutely biblical at the same time. Let me try to recreate how that was done. For instance, 1 Timothy 2 happened to be where we read the Bible for the morning Bible reading, and he delivered it with a bit of commentary. I exhort first, all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the commentary on the Bible reading was somewhat brief. We should be praying for politicians, no matter what letter they have after their name. Why? So that we can live quiet lives. Why? So that the gospel can go out. If you happen to be one of the evangelicals who thinks, I'm sitting this one out, I don't like my preferences, perhaps this Bible verse will give you a leading that it is better to have religious liberty and freedom in this country than to not. Why? Because Paul tells us to pray for that, that there is peace so that the gospel can go forth. Can the church grow during times of persecution? Yes. But it looks like Paul said it's better that there's peace so that we can live peaceably and the gospel can go forth, because God wants men, women, children to be saved. And so if you are looking at a political party that thwarts peace, that doesn't allow the church to preach whatever it wants to, it is thwarting God's gospel desire. Boop. That was it. That was it. Now, didn't that say plenty? It most certainly did, considering we're looking at a very important election. And then there was the sermon, taken from 1 Peter chapter 2. And it happened to be about the subject of the Christian's identity. Who are we? And so the introduction to this particular sermon was simply a public observation that in our current culture, you are encouraged to identify with intersections, that you are identified by your gender, your skin color, your wealth. These are the issues that define us in our culture, and we divide and we find ourselves in little cliques. Is that what God says is our identity? And then the text was about 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's your identity, Christian. And the entire sermon was a breakdown of God's desire to love both individuality and unity. He loves both, and our branding, how God identifies us. And it was a breaking down of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. That is who you are. You are not identified by your gender. You're not identified by your ethnic group. Even though God sees individuality, he values unity. And here is your new branding. This is your identity. These are your four monikers. Now, most of the sermon was about this text, and yet it thoroughly thwarted intersectionality, which is a political ruse to get people to vote a certain way. It was encouraging because I was reminded, wow, this is, I'm this? Whoa, you've got to be kidding me. How much better is this than any of the human earthly monikers that get slapped on us? And finally, it was biblical, demonstrating, Pastor, you can kill three birds with one stone. And might I suggest, sometimes you must. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt many of your kitchen table conversations have involved health insurance. Mrs. Friel and I used to talk about it a lot, but not since we joined MediShare, biblical health sharing. Over 400,000 Christians sharing each other's medical expenses so far to the tune of $4 billion. You can be confident they can handle your medical bills too. An average family through MediShare will save approximately $500 per month, and you'll be able to sleep at night. And right now, they're waiving their application fee during the month of November, which just might be open enrollment time for you. Please, maybe it's time for you to reconsider how you protect yourself and family. To learn more about MediShare, visit MediShare.com/wretched, MediShare.com/wretched, or call, they're nice folks, 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
It's here. It's here. Road Trip to Truth is finally here. We know you've been waiting patiently, but it is finally here. Join host John Ferbarez on his journey to find answers on the topics of evolution, depression, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of God, and of course, truth itself. Not only can you purchase the 13 full-length episode show, you can also purchase the Bible study course, perfect for middle schoolers through adults. Don't believe us? Maybe you'll take 10 Challey's word for it. He says, quote, for too long, too much of the material prepared for young folk has been insultingly shallow and embarrassingly trite. What makes it even worse is that many young people are crying out for solid content while their youth leaders serve them nonsense. I'm thankful that Road Trip to Truth unashamedly and effectively deals with real, meaty, life-changing truths of the Christian faith. So visit roadtriptotruth.org and get your copies. That's roadtriptotruth.org.
If and you think there are assaults on biblical truth in the good old U.S. of A., oh, travel overseas. Those assaults do not stay inside of our borders, and that is why Dr. John MacArthur, leading the Master's Academy International mini-seminaries all throughout the world in 17 different nations, equipping pastors to rightly divide the word, fill empty pulpits, and defend the truth.
The foundation of all ministry is having a firm grasp of the authority and inerrancy of Scripture. The age of tolerance in which we live has caused guys to soften their message, which means you eliminate certain things in Scripture or you soften the message. Young guys that are coming into the ministry need to reaffirm their commitment to the authority and power of Scripture.
Please support that effort through the Master's Academy International, wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's faithfulness. Since God is truth, he has no desire to break his promises. Since he is omnipotent, nothing can cause him to break promises. Since his promises are based on his eternal plan, God will always keep them. Scripture called God a rock, a fortress, and a bulwark, never failing because he is faithful. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
But maybe not quite like Martin Luther. This is Wretched Radio. These days, I was going to call it a battle cry, but that's too masculine of a word. That's too violent of a phrase. These days, pastors, you're embraced and reminded that these are just, these are hard times, aren't they? They're just difficult. How's a pastor? Don't want to use the term man of God. That's too masculine. How's a pastor supposed to tend to the sheep when it's just so hard? It's really difficult these days because these issues, they're so contentious.
Quit whining.
That's exactly what I think is happening these days. There is always a ditch where you've got yourself an action in evangelical Christianity. You've inevitably got yourself an equal and opposite reaction. You've got some groups that would go, men are supposed to lead the pulpit. We're brute beasts. And then you swing all the way to the other side.
Drums are beating, flags are waving.
That's one side. That's a ditch. On the other side, though, you've got what I see happening right now in evangelical Christianity. Seminars, books, plenty of articles and blogs. Oh, Pastor, these are hard times. These are difficult issues that divide. And we can't be experts on everything. I mean, how are we supposed to know what to do about COVID? It's hard. And these racial issues, and the politics, it's just so hard. So, Pastor, we're going to help you to be a complete sissified squish bomb. And that is a ditch. I am not suggesting that a pastor should always sound like Martin Luther, because Martin Luther, probably if he erred on one side, whoo! Now, granted,
he didn't hold back.
He did not hold back. And it was a different time. It was a coarser time. It wasn't as coarse to them because that was the time. Nevertheless, you read Luther's works when he spoke about the Pope, when he spoke about kings and princes, he did not hold back. He lashed at them. And he could regularly even be rather earthy, which, again, for the time, it still could have been too coarse. It's certainly too coarse for our times. Nevertheless, what I am seeing right now in evangelical Christianity is this push that pastors stop leading, that pastors stop rebuking, that pastors stop drawing lines, that pastors be sensitive to everybody's positions, because we can't divide over these things. And I am starting to wonder if we are going to see an increased divide inside of the evangelical community based on all of these issues, whether it is COVID, whether it is politics, whether it is racial issues. I see a really big divide coming. In fact, case in point, we'll leave the fellow's name out of it. He's certainly born again. He is Orthodox, small o Orthodox. And yet, I think that this kind of represents in a subtle way the push for us to overlook some really important issues that I understand you could say those are just political issues, but I do believe they're biblical matters because they are moral issues right to the core. And these are life and death issues. And so it is, a pastor, famous guy, you probably know who it is, that is not the point, said this: do not divide the church over political positions, convictions, or calculations that are not clear and direct in God's word. Abortion? Marriage? Sexuality issues? All of them, the broad panoply of issues? Not to mention religious liberty issues. 1 Timothy 2, I think, is instructive. Even though Paul is telling people to vote, not to vote, to pray for politicians. Why? That we might live peaceably. Why? Because that's the better thing. And if you've got yourself a party that isn't desiring for you to live peaceably so that the gospel can go forth, that's a bad party. That's clear. This isn't confusing. This is a current effort, in my estimation, to make everything muddy, to make everything muddled, to make it all rather complicated so that a pastor doesn't have to draw a line and actually, you know, lead the sheep? Isn't that part of the pastor's job, to lead the sheep? But you're warned, careful, this is going to divide. Yeah, it sure could. And this is something that I think we need to start thinking through rather carefully. Now, I grant you, the intensity of the conversation might subside after the election because it's trendy right now. Nevertheless, what I'm hearing from this pastor and from many others is that you should not have a problem with somebody in your congregation who votes for a pro-abort, pro-LGBTQXYZ+, pro-marriage redefinition, pro an 8-year-old child can determine their own gender, pro squashing religious speech and activities. Don't divide over those things, we're told. They're just not clear. And I think this is a perfect example of that. We will not, this pastor said from the pulpit, by the way, we will not help tell people to vote for this candidate or that party. Okay? You don't want to use the R word or the D word? You don't have to. It can be done very clearly. When you look at a party whose platform desires to slaughter babies, to take people's money, which is stealing, by the way, to distribute it to organizations that have the stated purpose of taking the lives of whole innocent human beings, aka murder, you shouldn't vote for that party. Boom. The end. Now, what did this particular preacher do? In telling people, hey, I fear calling you to do something that I cannot show you clearly and directly in God's word what he has called you to do. Now, this pastor is a good brother. Why not? I think it is because he has followed the pattern of the article that we discussed last week by Dr. John Piper, that there are other issues that weigh just as heavily as marriage, sexuality, gender issues, and abortion. And that is the character of the politician. That somehow, if you've got yourself a lout, brute, beast of a politician who is for life, who is for marriage, who doesn't want 8-year-old children to change their gender, quotation marks, you can't, it's, nope, can't do that. Because his character is just as bad as his political positions. They are equal. We tackled that last week, if you care to go back and listen to that. But that's just absolutely mysterious to me. Because first of all, a man who promotes abortion and 8-year-olds getting surgery that's irreversible, that doesn't seem like a real nice guy to me. And we are living in a time when we are given choices that are not ideal. And we must weigh these issues. And to me, the scale, it's like a boulder is on one side and you've got a marble on the other side. Yes, it is good that our politicians have good character. That blessing, cool, rock on. In the meantime, laws mandating abortions, money, children dying, marriage redefined. And just wait, church, your desire to have everybody sing Kumbaya. When the socialists come knocking on your door, remember your words, because you will be feeling what socialism brings if they are elected. This individual weighs those two evenly. So therefore, I can't tell you because it's unclear to me. Where are the men who are clear on these subjects? Where are the men of God who clearly can identify that's wicked, that's bad, but it's not as wicked? Therefore, this is our path forward. This is how we're going to behave. This is what we're going to do. This is how this church is going to lead. And we want you to stay because we will show you that it is the biblical right way to go forward. And by the way, this particular pastor said, if you think these things that I say as thoughtfully and as compassionately as I know how to, if you don't think, if you can't get along with people who work, even for politicians who are pro-aborts, this isn't the right church for you. And I hope you'll move on. That quote, I'm truly happy for you to be in another church, as long as that church is preaching the gospel. Well, then, that's fascinating.
It's a big statement.
That's a very big statement. Now, truth is going to divide, but this middle ground isn't middle at all. It's clear. This is intended for the evangelical church to be the kumbaya party on moral issues, and we are not. These are life and death issues. These are gospel issues. These are eternal issues. Where are the men who will actually lead? Not by whim, not because of political fervor, but biblically. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. A New Jersey youth pastor has been arrested and charged with blackmailing young boys across four states to get them to record and send videos of themselves performing sexual acts, according to authorities. 30-year-old Sean Higgins, who serves as a youth pastor and music leader at Harbor Baptist Church in Haynesport, Pennsylvania, was taken into custody last Thursday and charged with 28 criminal counts that include first-degree aggravated assault and manufacturing child pornography. According to the prosecutor, Scott Kofina, Higgins has been charged with coaxing underage boys on social media to send him nude pictures and videos. The youth pastor is said to have used those nude pictures and videos to blackmail his victims into performing sexual acts on themselves for his enjoyment. Kofina said in a statement that when a young boy would send a nude photo of himself, Higgins would instantly transform and warn the child that I've got you and threatened to circulate that photo if the child did not engage in additional sexual acts on camera. According to the prosecutor, the six identified victims range in age from 12 to 15. The boys reside in Alabama, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and South Dakota. The youth pastor's crimes do not involve any members of his congregation or the church's school. Higgins also serves as a teacher at Harbor Baptist Academy, a private K-12 school that has about 75 students enrolled. A phone call to the church seeking a comment on Higgins' charges went unanswered. According to its website, the church is pastored by Pat Higgins and was founded in 1997 by Dennis Higgins, who passed away in 2019. President Donald Trump celebrated the blessing of adoption last week by committing to providing a brighter future for all children, including those not yet born. Recognizing November as National Adoption Month, the president highlighted the work his administration has been doing to help children and families thrive. He said adoptions are at a record high and the number of children in foster care is dropping. 153,258 children were placed into foster care due to neglect, and 86,694 children were removed from their homes due to drug abuse in 2019. While reuniting children with their birth families is the primary goal of foster care, some children cannot be safely returned to their birth homes. Some foster children wait more than 2 years to be adopted, and others age out of the system without ever finding a permanent family. Trump said his administration has been working to increase funding and oversight of the foster care system. He especially has been supportive of faith-based foster and adoption agencies, which Democrat leaders are trying to force to shut down unless they violate their beliefs. The president also highlighted an executive order that he signed in June to encourage partnerships between private, public, and faith-based organizations to keep families together and, when it's not possible, to find children adoptive homes. His order also expanded resources for trauma training, as well as support for guardianship and kinship care for children who age out of the foster care system. Currently, there are more than 122,000 children waiting to be adopted in the foster care system, and that's according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. 1 in 5 of them are teenagers. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 1517. Martin Luther posts his 95 Theses, a simple invitation for scholarly debate that inadvertently becomes a hinge of history. Luther's challenge to the sale of indulgences sparked the Reformation and changed the face of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dear Pastor, we are going to need you perhaps more than ever. This is Wretched Radio. as we prepare perhaps for a shift in American politics, in American morality that becomes now authorized by the government, a la Romans 1, give or take, 32, where the government says, cool on all of these sexual perversions, cool on killing babies. That is the government authorizing, giving hard E approval to sinful activities. And Pastor, I would like to suggest to you, we need you more than ever to not fall sway to the, hey, just try to bring everybody together and just let there be peace in the church. I don't think that is what these times demand. I think this is now the time for rebuking and for exhorting. And it could, no, it will come at a cost, Pastor. I get it. It will come at a cost. But I would like to challenge you, not tell you what to do. Everybody's circumstance is different. Everybody's in a different position. I get that. Far be it from me. I'm a radio jockey. You're the pastor. I would not tell you, do this, do that. I would like to encourage you to be the man of God who does not shrink back. You do it lovingly. They see your heart that you desire for them what is best, but that you rebuke and that you exhort and that you tell people there are things that are wicked. And right now there is a political party that is endorsing wicked things, and you cannot participate. You can't participate in that. Now, here's where it gets dicey on two levels. Number one, that didn't used to be the attitude. We used to say, no, we want the moral politician. Right now, there are people who don't believe we have that option. So what do? I would say you weigh the issues. And unless somehow you can conclude that a guy who tweets stuff you don't like or who is a bully in a debate, somehow that is worse than abortion, marriage, gender issues, religious freedom, not to mention a slew of other issues where the Bible informs us how to behave, then we need to state clearly there is one way to vote that is more biblical than the other. Furthermore, these days, we see an effort to try to have everybody come together and just overlook the differences. Pastor, how can we do that? If there were a politician that was pro-rape, you'd be saying to people, no, you can't be party to that. You can't participate in that. But that's the second thing that we see going on these days is a moral equality amongst issues, that somehow all of these things weigh exactly the same. They don't. Clearly, they don't. How somebody can't see it, quite honestly, is just a mystery to me. A president who tweets things that just make you go, oh, who holds rallies and says things that maybe are coarse, and you just go, oh, but he doesn't want to kill babies. Okay, the other guy does. He's polite. He doesn't swear, at least publicly, but he wants to kill babies. This is the weighing of the issues is clear. And Pastor, when we do things like I'm seeing this famous pastor do, who actually said, quote, famous pastor from his pulpit, individually, we will all steward our vote and our voice according to our convictions. Since when do pastors talk like that? How can we, this ground does not exist for the preacher. As men and women who are accountable to God and to his word will vote our consciences, quote, and some of us will even campaign or work for political parties or candidates according to our convictions, which is right and good. Wait, hold it. So I can go to work for the Biden campaign to help him win so that he can, on his first day, begin the assault on human life. Really? Really? This ground is not biblical. How do we do this with these issues? I can't. If this were about slavery, would this famous preacher say, look, there's going to be people in this pro-slavery, anti, we're just going to get along because it's gospelicious. No, somebody's sinning here. And somebody needs to be rebuked here lovingly, biblically, and it can be done. I have been watching it happen now, really for months in my church. There are issues that are pressing, that are big right now, regarding the racial issue alone, not to mention politics, not to mention COVID, just the racial issues. You've got intersectionality. You've got critical theory going on. You've got black liberation theology. And I'm telling you, our pastor hit all of them thoughtfully, taking weeks at a time. And never once would anybody have left there and gone, that was a killer political rally. Woo! I am stoked to vote. And nobody would have thought that. It was thoroughly biblical. A clear and precise handling of the Word of God that addressed the issues of the day. Pastor, I'm not saying, as if I can tell you what to do, I'm not saying get in the pulpit with an American flag. That's the opposite of what I think should be happening. But to fail to preach against these issues, and when you've got members in your congregation who are actually endorsing and supporting wicked abominations, you would rebuke them on other issues. The sex trafficking party, well, you've got some people in your congregation. It's good and right for them to work for the sex trafficking party, and we're just going to get along. And if you can't get along here, said this famous pastor, then it's probably better for you to find another church. That should make your head explode. So why not these issues? Why not the issue of life? Why not the issue of marriage? Why not the issue of gender? Now, there's another concern that I think people raise that is fair and reasonable here. It seems that things have changed. We used to look at things a little bit differently. We did look at the character of the politician. That was a big deal. You're right. And it is a big deal. Not a big a deal as abortion, marriage, gender issues, but it's a big deal. I grant you that. But the times are simply different. They're different. Now, let's just fast forward a little bit, shall we? Let's just say the Republican Party, they next election, they say, we are against abortion, except in the cases of rape and incest. Ooh, well, this just got interesting, didn't it? Because you and I know that regardless of how a woman was impregnated, it's still a human being. And you don't punish the child for the crimes of the father. We know that. But now you've got the Republican Party saying, now we're imagining this, that they are for life except. Then you've got the other party saying, no, we're absolutely against it. We want to take life. We don't care if they die on a silver tray after they've survived an abortion. We don't care. And we want to fund it. Now, what do you do? I would suggest to you, you still have to vote for the one who is expressing a desire to do less evil. Confused? Yeah. Wrong? Absolutely. Devastating? Uh-huh. But not nearly as wicked as the other side. And so you are going to have to make a decision at that point. Now what do you do? And this is, if nothing else, this is an encouragement to be careful how firmly you tie yourself, you hitch yourself to a political party wagon, because they will change on you. Be careful. We're Christians. Remember, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. That's who we are. We're not political beasts. We are Christians who are in this world, who now have an opportunity to do well or to do evil. And it's going to get trickier still, I'm sure of it, because typically things do not tend to veer to the right for long. They get pulled to the left, and we will find ourselves most likely in 4 years trying to work through these issues. And it's going to feel like, well, didn't you say 4 years ago? Yeah, but that was 4 years ago. Time makes a difference. And we need to consider those things as we go. And right now, Pastor, there is an encouragement for you to become muddle-headed, to just become a big party pastor who doesn't have any concerns or worries. You got people that are actually working for pro-abortion candidates. Just love them. And if anybody thinks that's a problem, they're the ones who should leave. Zoink, Scoob. That's fascinating. that the people who are saying, hey, I think we got moral issues here, they're the ones who should consider going to another church, not the people who are actually campaigning for pro-aborts. These are strange times. And Pastor, I would just encourage you to lead, sir, lead. Don't be obnoxious, you know that. Don't become a politician. Nobody wants that. We got enough of those people. We want you to be a pastor, but we want you to be one who has a backbone of steel. And it is a steel that has been strengthened by the word of God, speaking truth in love. These days, you're asked to just be lovey-dovey. We need pastors who preach truth. This is Wretched Radio. Not that we normally quote Joseph Stalin on Wretched, nevertheless, he rightly said, the death of one man is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic. We have to be so careful that our Christian hearts don't grow cold when we hear the statistic that 1 million babies die every year from abortions. We need to remember that is one baby at a time. That is one mommy. That is one child. That is even one daddy.
My choice to become a mom and hear those little footsteps running down the hallway every morning is all because I had an ultrasound. It saved my life and hers.
Ultrasounds save lives, one baby at a time. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched for just $28 per ultrasound? Please help save one baby at a time. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
It's another day and another episode of Wretched Radio. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to tune in and listen. We are definitely appreciative of your time. We also are appreciative when you share your stories, questions, comments, conundrums, and snarks with us. There's always two easy ways to share those. The ancient way of email at idea@wretched.org or the even ancienter phone call 877-282-B. Permit me, if you will, to now share one of those stories with you. Hello, Wretched. Thank you so much for everything you and your team do as the Lord has used you to help bring me out of the NAR Messianic Movement. Yours in Christ, Grant. If you want to help make more Wretched stories just like that possible, would you prayerfully consider becoming a monthly gospel partner? You can find all of the details on becoming a monthly gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And now a message from our dear brother Paul Marty of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Bible Clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Just in case it isn't difficult enough to do ministry in poor Eastern Europe.
2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, and especially hard for the vulnerable kids and families the Tomorrow Club serve. But support from the Wretched audience has enabled us to continue to bring a message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the forsaken places we serve. Thank you so much.
If you are a Tomorrow Club supporter, I echo his gratitude. If you are not, would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? You can sponsor your own kids club in Eastern Europe so efficiently. Just $30 per month to disciple 30 kids. Learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
1, 2, 3, time out on myself. This is Wretched Radio. Gentlemen, I've been... what's the word I'm looking for? Perhaps haranguing? Rather passionately encouraging pastors to consider the times we live in to not fall victim to a current trend, an effort to get you to be a squish bomb on moral issues, to just struggle with them, wrestle, keep it to yourself. Don't let anybody know what you're actually up to so that you can keep your flock intact. And I would suggest... now is the time for men to be encouraged, to be steeled up, to be firm in their convictions, not to become a political pulpit, but to be a preaching pulpit that does deal with these issues. And even if necessary, inside of a church, identifies those who are perhaps sinning and dealing with it. I think it's time for us to take a look at voting again. I think that we have kind of fallen to this, hey, keep your vote to yourself business. I don't get that. Why is it such a private thing? Now, I do believe evangelistically there's wisdom in keeping it to yourself, because it's so contentious these days. You want people to hear the gospel and not trip over it. I get that in evangelism. I do. Now, if somebody asks me, I'm not going to dance around it and try to be coy and deceptive. But when the text demands it, when the times demand it, a pastor should be, in my estimation, willing to preach. And he doesn't even quite honestly need to name names, but he needs to make positions biblically clear and stick with them, and even be willing to say, if necessary, a vote in that direction is a sin. Gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Am I just feeling perhaps a little bit passionate because we're looking at a big election and I'm overdoing, a little hot under the collar?
I will say you are very passionate about this topic than others in the past, but I think there's calls behind it because we are in the midst of an election time and there's good questions to be had. I think pastors are struggling. I've had people write in, even young pastors who are struggling during this time, to kind of play whether or not they should talk about politics from the pulpit or not talk about this topic or that topic. And everything that you've talked about, you know, these are issues that should be preached, but there should be balance.
Okay, but that's the point we've been trying. You need to maintain a biblical pulpit. But I think I've seen it demonstrated. It can be done. Spurgeon did it. Others have done it. It can be done. Imagine this. You're a young pastor, and you have just been called, perhaps, and you are invited to somebody's house, and there's a bunch of members there, perhaps the ones that, well, you kind of got the idea. They're the important ones. They're the people who have financed this church. And you are asked the question, so, preacher, where do you stand on that politician who's pro-rape? Well, you know, I just, boy, these are tricky issues, and I just think
it's
that
not
as
tricky.
Christians, we should, see, it's not tricky. It's not. Now, here's the problem that you sense. Because people are not probably informed on the life issue, marriage issue, gender issues, they perhaps have not been taught biblically. They're perhaps, they don't understand this. They don't see it as bad as rape. I'm sorry. Rape is wicked and awful. Murder's worse. That's what abortion is. They don't see it that way. Now, you wouldn't equivocate on the rape issue. You'd go, well, I mean, what Christian could possibly be party with that? And yet, we go, well, yeah, on these other issues, I need to be more thoughtful. Now, does that mean that young pastor just called to the congregation should go, are you kidding me? All the Democrats, they're bound for hell. And you're going with them if you vote too. I mean, no. But a pastor might be willing to say even something like this, you know what? I'm so glad that you raised that issue, because aren't we all really passionate about that? In the weeks ahead, we're going to be unpacking some of those things biblically. We're going to be doing that together as a body. Absolutely, Pastor, be wise. Don't trample in. Don't tomorrow morning wake up and start firing off newsletter salvos. It needs to be done biblically. It needs to be done with a strategy, and nobody should criticize you for that strategy, because you know the timing best. I don't. The guy down the street doesn't. You know the timing. You know where your congregation is at with maturity. Plan it, strategize it, and then implement it and bring them there. I totally get that. There is wisdom in that. Totally get that. But are you doing that? Is there a strategy for that? Are you going to that place? Are you trying to lead them and take them? Maybe you are the new guy and you inherited just a swamp. I get it. I truly do. And it might take 2 years of just laboring theologically and biblically and letting the text speak, not being obnoxious, not unnecessarily tweaking and eat. But I'll tell you what, coy, quite honestly, I think for most people is worse than straightforward. I'd rather know what I'm dealing with than somebody who's trying to chin boogie. So come up with your strategy, come up with your plan, but lead is my point. Lead. Don't fall victim to this. Well, you just gotta find that middle shaky ground. It's really hard. It's tenuous. It's not easy, Pastor. But because here's what I think is actually behind that. Too often, not always, but too often, they just want you to become liberal. And so just zip it and give a tacit affirmation to everybody in their political persuasions. These are indeed issues that are contentious. I get that. And I believe that many, not all, but many of those who are calling you to stake a middle ground really aren't. They just want you to stop being a traditional evangelical who preaches, a vote for a pro-abort is an abomination. We used to talk like that freely. There were no filters before with pastors. None whatsoever. We're the life people. We used to have life month. What do you think we were saying with that as evangelical? January was life month. I know that John Piper, and I don't know if they're still doing that at Bethlehem Baptist Church, the entire month was dedicated to life. What was being said there politically? Because it was speaking. We used to talk that way. We don't anymore. And I would simply encourage you, Pastor, there is a very loud voice saying, shh, 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 shh. Just know that it's, we understand. We understand. Hard. So don't worry. Just take a long sabbatical. Let it blow over. Don't find yourself in a political fight. I don't think you should be in a political fight either. These are biblical matters, theological issues. These are scriptura issues. And my encouragement, my voice, perhaps a little too feverish, is to be a voice on the other side going, lead. Lead. And sometimes the chips are going to fall. They're going to fall, and they might be hard. They might be. And that's why you don't want to look back and do it with regrets. Oh, I wasn't wise. Be wise. Oh, I wasn't thoughtful. Be thoughtful. Oh, I really should have said it better than that. Well, then study harder. But don't find the position of mum's the word. That's not what a pastor is called to do. I'm sorry, it is unthinkable right now that there would be voices in evangelicalism saying, Pastor, issues of rape and slavery and sex trafficking, these are hard issues. They're hard. So just know that you're not alone, and figuring these things out, it's difficult. They're not. Be wise. Be biblical. Be thoughtful. Receive counsel. But be strong. Don't be like a waffling Timothy. That was his issue. He was young, and it appears he had a tendency to just kind of shrink back from difficult things. And that is why the epistles that Paul wrote to him, rebuke and exhort, admonish, that's not the overall temperament of your pastorate. But it must be a part of it. And I would ask you, are these times demanding that now? We are looking at a time when it seems that decisions are going to be made that are going to have really big implications. And by the way, today we haven't even talked about the personal implications. For instance, Scottish hate crime bill would criminalize offensive dinner table conversations. That's right. You say things that are reported while you speak at your dinner table. They get reported because they're incendiary or hate speech. You're going to jail. Reported to police. Conversations over the dinner table that incite hatred must be persecuted under Scotland's hate crime law. It's a dwelling defense law. Inside of your house. You can't say what you want to inside of your house. This is Scotland. This is the home of John Knox. Pastor, don't think for a second this can't happen here to you. They'll come for the pulpit long before they come for the home. I'm not even encouraging you from that standpoint. Consider the babies. Consider families. Consider morality. Consider being biblical. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.